pencils in your pews too, so if you could share those. The first mention of medicine in the scriptures was when God gave Moses the two tablets. Are you awake? He was up on Mount Sinai, and Moses carried the two tablets down the mountain, and when he came down, he saw the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. And so to help cure the Israelites, Moses then proceeded to give them some strong medicine. He had them grind up the golden calf and drink it. Kind of like a castor calf oil. Oh, you are awake. All right. There's an old story about how Satan was so upset listening to God speak, especially speaking about humankind, that he wanted to shut God up. So he came up with a plan. He says, I'm going to come up with a bet, and if I win, God's going to have to shut up. So he thought he had a bet that he couldn't lose. He went to God and said, if you enter into an agreement, into a covenant with these human beings, and they don't keep the covenant, will you be quiet? And God thought about it and said, all right, with one condition. I'll be quiet, but if I lose, I'll be allowed to speak just one word. And Satan was very happy. One word, I can live with that. Well, of course, God entered into the covenant, and of course, we humans broke the covenant. And Satan says, great, I win. And then God spoke his one word, Christ. And because of Christ, the covenant has been restored. We are the recipients of the new covenant. Christ was the greatest medicine ever given to the human race. In our gospel, we heard about Jesus speaking about his hour that has come. I hope everyone is aware of the hour that is going to go tonight, daylight savings time. And we also have heard about the hour that's coming, the season of hurricanes, that we need to start preparing not just for ourselves, but to be concerned with our neighbors. One of the signs of the hour was that the Gentiles would start coming more. And we heard in the gospel how the Greek Gentiles came to the disciples and asked if they could see Jesus. And when they went to Jesus, he said, they can at the hour when all will come to me, when I am lifted up. Then he will gather all to himself. The new covenant is not just for one people, but for all, Jews and Gentiles. As we heard in the letter to the Hebrews this evening, Christ became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. In our first reading, we heard from the prophet Jeremiah from the Old Testament, prophesying about the new covenant that would come. He said, God said, I will write my law on their hearts. Instead of on tablets of stone, the law would be written within us. Jeremiah spoke during one of the darkest hours in all of Jewish history. They had been conquered and taken out of their country into captivity into Babylon, scattered. Kind of like today, the poor people from New Orleans and the Gulf Coast who have been scattered. And they need to hear a message of hope, that they will be able to return home. And Jeremiah prophesied a new exodus, that God would lead them back home, and also a new covenant, that even though they had broken the first covenant, that God would restore the relationship, and this new law would be written in their hearts. The difference between a law of stone and a law of heart, it's kind of like if you ever saw that show, Candid Camera. a deep theological show. They catch people when they don't think anyone is watching them. I saw something on TV last week. They staged a situation to see how people would react. A man was pushing a woman out in a public park, and they were seeing people go to that woman's assistance. It was very interesting what people would do when they weren't realizing they were being watched. External law. Oftentimes people keep it because they feel they're being watched. It's outside themselves. Whereas the law that's written in the heart, where people will act morally, not just because of fear or being afraid of being caught, but because of principle and conscience. The law written in our heart. Take going to Mass. Why are we here? What's our motivation? There certainly is a law. One of those laws on those tablets that Moses carried said, remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. And this is how we keep holy. The church has a law that says we keep holy by attending Mass. But I like what a parent in our parish taught her children about the obligation of going to Mass. She taught her children, the reason we come to Mass is so that we can give thanks. Not because we have to, but because out of our gratitude, we want to say thank you to God who has given us everything. An attitude of gratitude, not just of obligation, which is really what Eucharist means, giving thanks. On Thanksgiving Day, this church is almost full at Mass. And I think it's wonderful because, you know, Thanksgiving Day is not a holy day of obligation. People are here because they want to give thanks. And I wonder what would be like if we had to pass a law to say to people, you know, you have to go to Thanksgiving dinner. You have to give thanks. The law of gratitude that's written in our heart through the Spirit makes us want to give it, not just because we have to, but because we want to. Jesus restored the broken covenants. It was broken by disobedience and unfaithfulness, but it was restored by Jesus' obedience and his faithfulness, especially during his hour, the final days of his life. He emptied himself like the seed that goes into the ground. But the seed that goes into the ground doesn't die. The life that was hidden within it bursts forth, and new life comes forward, which is what Jesus did at Easter. He broke through death. During that first Holy Week, it was celebrated during the Jewish Feast of Passover. And again this year, our Holy Week is celebrated at the same time as the Jewish Passover. And what the Jews celebrated Passover was the angel passing over their houses and sparing the lives of their firstborn. But Jesus went through a new Passover. He passed over from life to death to life again. He was lifted up on the cross and also lifted up from the grave. And through being lifted up, he draws us all to himself as the ascending Christ. Jesus' hour makes all time sacred. Jesus' hour is the ultimate saving time, not just daylight, but saving us. In Christ, we don't lose an hour. We gain an eternity. Like the farmer who trusts the seed that he sows in the ground will grow, Jesus trusted his Father, and he calls us to trust also. Jesus was faithful when his hour came. What hour is it now in your life? As we will find out tonight, an hour can go very quickly. It can disappear. How do you feel about the hour of your death? How often have you prayed the Hail Mary and really prayed in preparation for the hour of our death? We prepare now for the hurricane season to come. We also need to prepare for the ultimate hour of our life. In a way, our whole life is a preparation for getting ready for our death, for our Passover. Someone shared a sentiment with me, I think it's great. It said, when you came into this world, you were crying and everybody else was smiling. Live your life in such a way that when you go out of this world, you're smiling and everybody else is crying. Life is like Lent. It's a preparation for resurrection. And Jesus invites us throughout our lives, and especially during seasons like Lent, to let go of self and to let the life that was within us burst forth outside our selfish shells. Our Lord invites us to a Thanksgiving dinner, the Eucharist, a foretaste of the eternal banquet of heaven. We don't have to come and receive. We're invited. But if we choose to come and receive the Lord, we're choosing to receive the greatest medicine that has ever been given to the human race. A medicine that many of us will receive at our hour of death as Holy Viaticum. This time last year, I had the privilege of bringing communion to my mother-in-law, not realizing it was the last food she would ever eat. We are called to come forth to partake of the Eucharistic banquet. It's good medicine for this hour and for every hour of our life.
We stand and proudly pray our belief, our creed. We believe seek the Lord where he may be found. We offer him our